Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, June 14th, 2020. I'm Stephen Jensen. Hope everyone had a great week, best week you possibly can. You know, it's still kind of wild out there. Things opening up more and more, you know, life getting a bit more back to normal. And, of course, all the other world issues and stuff like that. And I don't want to get into all that again this week, but it's one of those things where, like, we've made it another week. We've got the Weekender right here for you. Let's take our minds off everything else going on in the world, talk a little professional wrestling. And I'm going to give you a rundown of today's topics, and we'll just jump right into it this week. So in this edition of the Fightful Select Weekender, we have results for Impact Wrestling, 205 Live, new YouTube content on the National Wrestling Alliance YouTube channel. We have a new Being the Elite titled Colonoscopy. I always have a hard time with that word. Colonoscopy. We got a recap of that episode of Being the Elite for you. I'm going to do some quick WWE Backlash predictions right at the end of the show. If you want to hear full predictions, full detailed predictions, I did about a two-hour podcast with Jesse Davin yesterday that is available right now on YouTube and will probably be available on my Fight Talk podcast feed. You can find that anywhere podcasts are available. That should be up by the time you hear this as well, or close to the same time. So after you listen to this episode of The Weekender, feel free to jump on over and listen to those predictions. If you catch this after Backlash, then the predictions really don't do much good. But either way, I'm going to jump in at the end of the episode and just give you some quick predictions of who I think is going to win or lose. Obviously, we don't really cover WWE main roster stuff here on this show, but you know, when it comes to the big pay-per-views, I like to at least get my predictions out there for all y'all. I also have a free YouTube match for y'all to check out on YouTube, and we have a recommended show on IWTV, so I'll just jump into that right now. My recommended show this week on independentwrestling.tv is the IWTV mixtape, and this is the best of Black independent wrestling. So there's no actual like promotion behind this. This was done as a compilation on IWTV, and I have to give a huge shout out to Jay Rose. Jay Rose is a guy who, he's African-American, and I believe he's gay as well. I've seen him talk about that on social media. I don't know him personally. I've met him before, and he seems like a really great guy. Seems to get along with everybody, and I know he works really hard. He does ring announcing for various independent promotions. He's kind of like a hype man all over the place for all of independent wrestling. And he's somebody that I think is just really, really good for the scene in general. And he did a great thing with this IWTV mixtape because there's a lot that I'm going to talk about with this as far as highlighting some of the talents that I see here. I just can't dive deep on everybody this week like I normally would. I normally go over most of the performers and talk about them on all these IWTV shows, whether it be, you know, regardless of the independent promotion. I know most of these talents, these men, women, and, you know, everything in between, that do a lot of the work all over the world. I know who most of these people are, and I try to give you my best insight as far as, you know, why you should watch their matches and seek out their content and stuff like that. And I'm going to do my best with that today to pick a few people, but I want to make sure to at least mention everything involved in this show. And this show is just, there's just much more to talk about with this, because once again, it is a compilation. And it was like, I believe it was around 3 hours long or so. So, you know, this isn't the same kind of thing where normally I'm talking about like 10 or so matches and I can just kind of, you know, talk about the competitors. This is going to be more of letting you know everything that's on this show so you can check it out and at least giving them all a shout out. And then I'll pick a few people from this to dive deeper on, to tell y'all a little bit more about. So once again, huge shout out to Jay Rose for putting this all together. And, you know, I mentioned right at the top of the show, you know, all the stuff going on in the world right now. Not really wanting to get into it really too much again this week because we've been talking about it week after week here on The Weekender. But I did want to highlight this show especially because, you know, for obvious reasons, Black Lives Matter, I think we can all agree on that. I understand, yes, every person's life matters. But until we figure out how to fix the issues we have with the standing of the Black community within the overall society, like, until they're treated the same as everybody else, like, we gotta fix that before we can, like, worry about how everybody else feels. That's just my opinion on it. I know a lot of you probably share a similar opinion. I mentioned it on last episode of the, it was either last episode or two weeks ago. I can't remember now, but it was shocking. Like I didn't even ever think about how many of my close friends are African American. Like very close personal friends. Like some of my best friends, probably the majority of my very close friends. And it's something I just never thought about before because I've grown up in areas where, you know, very diverse areas, where you get a mixture of everything. And I just had really, I obviously am aware that racism exists, but I've never witnessed it really firsthand. My friends had told me about situations they'd been in, but I had never been with them during those situations. And it wasn't that I didn't believe them. I just never seen these things firsthand. And more recently, my eyes have really been open, and especially hearing how they've talked about it, and like really just like I didn't never know how scared my close friends were, just being black in society, and that's where really hits home for me when I'm really understanding more and more, and I think that's the whole point of this, the whole idea of Black Lives Matter is the awareness side of this, and there's so many. Incredible, I mean, of every race, gender, sexual orientation in professional wrestling. I mean, we get a melting pot of everything in pro wrestling. And pro wrestling is one of the most inclusive things you can participate in, whether you're as a fan or, you know, a talent in the ring or whatever else you might do associated with wrestling. It's incredibly diverse. And yeah, highlighting today, you know, there is a lot of incredible black talent all over the world and in so many different promotions, and I'm going to highlight those today and tell you about the IWTV mixtape. And once again, this is called The Best of Black Independent Wrestling. So we get opening words from Billy Dixon. AC Mack does a segment where he talks about becoming the Action and Sup champion. So this is someone I'll definitely deep dive on. AC Mack, incredible performer. This guy I've seen live multiple times. And I mentioned, you know, Action and Sup champion. He currently holds both world titles for both promotions. And the two companies before the pandemic put everything on hold, they're basically in a war of promotions. And people are invading, going back and forth. And there's a big rivalry between Sup and Action. And AC Mack holds both titles. So what I want to really talk about, though, with AC Mack is him as a person. I don't know him super well. I really don't know him well. I can't say I know him well, period. But I have interacted with him a few times in person at shows. And the best example or comparison I could give would be this. So I've met MJF in person. And MJF is somebody who plays, obviously, all of us, at this point, no. MJF, the character he plays on television, very, and not even on television. I mean, he was doing this on the independent scene, and this is, you know, back where my story comes from. But he, we all know what character he's portraying, right? And he's just the epitome of a heel. And I actually love it. I think that it's incredibly entertaining what he does. And I'm a huge fan of his. I hope to see him be the AEW World Champion in the near future. Very, very big fan of MJF. But so when I met him, it was in Nashville, Tennessee at a television. It was like a taping for a show that wound up going on Amazon called Dojo Pro. This was a few years back. And after the show had taped, I was standing around, and because I know a lot of the wrestlers, it was like an invite only type of thing. So like there was very few people there. And like I was friends with, you know, a lot of other people that were there. So I'm just sitting around, and like there's no cameras rolling. I'm not recording podcasts, nothing like that. And I went up to MJF because he was just standing by himself, just kind of, we're all just in this small room, and MJF's just kind of off to himself. And I went up to him, and I asked him about something that I thought, I won't say what it was, but I asked him about something that I thought by me asking, he would put his guard down a little bit, because I was asking him something that I thought he would actually be interested in talking about. And it wasn't even like really wrestling related. It was just something I know about him. And it wasn't making fun of him. It was nothing like that. It was like a legitimate like question I had. And that's when I found out that that guy doesn't turn the gimmick off. And it was really threw me off for a second. He was incredibly rude to me. I did not ask him anything offensive. I didn't say anything offensive. There's no way what I said could have possibly elicited the response that it got. It should not have. And he really kind of laid it on me very shortly, but it was like, whoa, what was that? I was like, and then I found out, and by, you know, talking to everyone else and stuff, he's always like that. Like, if there are people around, he keeps that character on. And I appreciated it. Once I realized it wasn't just me, he does this to everybody, okay, like, whew. And then I was like, okay, I respect the heck out of that. If that guy is just, he just keeps it on, he keeps it on. And so when I met AC Mack, not too much longer after that, probably, you know, a few weeks or months afterwards, I met AC Mack in Nashville, and it was before a SUP show. I was just hanging out outside, and I may have been, I can't remember who I was interviewing that day. I interviewed somebody from the show. So I was there early getting the interview, like, on the balcony, and AC Mack walked up, and I'd had the experience with MJF already, and I was, like, a little bit skeptical, but I wound up talking to AC Mack, and he's, like, the coolest, nicest, like, complete opposite of his wrestling character of probably anybody I've been around. Like, I've met, once again, I've been very fortunate and able to meet and get to know a lot of these independent wrestlers. And the first impressions are always really interesting to me because I don't know who's, like, trying to, like, you know, kind of be a character, who's, you know, keeping kind of kayfabe out there, who just wants to talk about, like, you know, who wants to pull the curtain back and, like, really talk about, like, backstage type of stuff, and who's, like, really protective and, you know, just the opinion of, you know, because I'm just a wrestling fan. And they're, of course, you know, the performers doing it. So, like, there's a lot of these dynamics that they run through my mind when I talk to wrestlers. And AC Mack was just one of the nicest guys. I'm sure he doesn't even remember, like, meeting me, but I've talked to him a couple times, and he's a super nice guy. And he's somebody that I'm very happy to be holding the Action and subtitles. SUP is basically my home promotion. But now that I live in Atlanta, I'm actually closer to Action Wrestling. So I'm going to be going to both shows when they start running again. So I'm very, very, very interested in seeing AC Mack do more with both of those titles and seeing the chase of, you know, Brett Eisen and others trying to get those titles back. Huge shout out to AC Mack. We have a match, Lee Moriarty versus Trey Lamar. That was from Absolute Intense Wrestling. We had a segment with Ricky Starks. I've been hearing rumors that Ricky Starks could be heading to AEW. If he is, I think that's huge. As you know, here on The Weekender, we talk about NWA all the time, and Ricky Starks, a former television champion for the National Wrestling Alliance. Is it television champion? North American champion? Is that what it was? Was it television champion? Now I can't even remember, but Ricky Starks definitely held one of those titles. I think it was the TV title, I want to say. I'm getting all my title belts all screwed up now, especially now that AEW has added their TNT title, and, like, 205 Live has multiple titles, and, like, I'm just getting all screwed up with which titles are where and how many there are. But Ricky Starks is somebody that has a lot of potential. He was also a part of that Dojo Pro series that I was talking about when talking about MJF just a second ago. He was a part of that too, so big fan of Ricky Starks. We have a segment with Devontes. We have a match, which is O'Shea Edwards versus Eric Royal from Flying V Fights. Great match. O'Shea Edwards, another guy, and this is, you know, I mentioned at the top of the show, I mentioned J-Rose, I believe he's homosexual. I believe I've seen him talk about that on social media. And I bring that up because, you know, all the talk about pride lately as well, you know, being proud of your sexual orientation. I saw O'Shea Edwards come out as gay, or I don't know if he's, like, bisexual or what, but he put out a pride post, and I did not see that coming. You know, I had no clue. And O'Shea Edwards is a guy I've been around a lot of times, a guy that I've interviewed I mean, a really, really great guy. A guy who has helped other people that I know tremendously when starting out in wrestling. And I think it's great. I'm very, very happy for him. I'm happy for anybody who's like who's living a life where they feel like they can't really be themselves. And to be able to make that big step out into the public and be like, you know what, this is who I am. And, you know, they kind of, it's not like a take it or leave it, like, in, like, a bad way, but it's like a, you know, I'm very happy for O'Shea there's probably a piece of him that has found a lot more peace of mind, if that makes sense. And O'Shea is somebody that, I mean, to be honest, had the pandemic not happened, he's like, and he's still right there. He's the kind of guy who's like on the cusp of like a really big breakout, in like a major promotion. I could totally see him popping up in like AEW or Impact Wrestling at some point soon. I don't know if he's a great fit for NXT or WWE, mainly because of his age. I believe he's a bit older than most people that they would want to, with his age and experience, the amount of years he has, I just feel like it's a better fit for AEW or for a potential run in Impact Wrestling. I think he can make a really big impact, no pun intended, wherever he winds up. And I'm a very big fan of his, and I'm very, very happy, and I hope that O'Shea is happy, because once again, he's a great dude, and I am very, very, very big fan of his. After that, we have Big Wavy versus Rampage Brown, segment with Willow Nightingale. We have a match, Big Swole versus Chakara. Of course, we see Big Swole on AEW television all the time now, so good for her. I think she's an incredibly athletic, incredibly talented in-ring performer, but I do not like the ring name Big Swole. I just don't think it fits her. I'm sorry, and that, I don't know how else to say it. Like, when I think of the words Big Swole, I think of like Brian Cage or like Big Papa Pump or like something like that. Or even if, you know, like Jordan Grace's ring name was like Big Swole or something like that, I'd be like, oh, okay, this makes sense. But I'm not big on her ring name, and I'm not big on her Being the Elite segments that she's been doing. We'll be talking about Being the Elite later, but she was not a part of the show this week, and I'm actually happy about that because I don't like her segments. But I will say this, her in-ring work is very, very solid, and she is clearly super athletic. So shout out to Big Swole. She's got to figure out the gimmick thing a little bit better for me. After that, we have a segment where GPA wins the Freelance Underground title. We have a segment with Jet Knight. We have a segment showing AR Fox doing the balcony dive from American Rana 16. Excuse me. American Rana, of course, is Beyond Wrestling's big show of the year, basically their WrestleMania each year. And AR Fox, also known as like Dante Fox, and I can't remember all the other names he's had, but he was also a part of Lucha Underground, had a great feud with Swerve, who is now part of 205 Live, Isaiah Scott, who we'll be talking about later with our 205 Live results. After that, we had a match between Myron Reed and Christian Casanova. Myron Reed, somebody I've met in person, who incredibly nice guy, incredibly talented, and picked it up and progressed incredibly quickly. He's a guy that I know mainly through his work in Glory Pro Wrestling. Obviously, he wrestles, you know, elsewhere, but Glory Pro has been the place that I've really seen him thrive. He's a former Glory Pro world champion. And the funny thing about that is, from what I understand, his title run was a mistake. Like, there was a botch, like an errant three count in the when the match where he won the title. But then he wound up being a good short-term champion. He was the champion of Glory Pro the first time I made a trip from Nashville to St. Louis to watch Glory Pro. Because on that same show, Michael Elgin was wrestling Cody Rhodes, and Mara Fuji was wrestling Donovan Dijak, or Dominic Dijakovic, as you call him now. And those two matches were had me sold on a five-hour car ride to go check this out. So, Myron Reed, super talented. He's another guy that I'm actually surprised we haven't really seen him on a bigger stage yet, but he's somebody that, as long as he can stay healthy and uninjured, he's going to be a big star, especially like when it comes to, like, the high flying, I mean, he's just very, very good, and somebody that he's one of the most underrated, overlooked guys on the Indies right now, in my opinion. After that, we have a segment with ACH winning the AAW title. ACH, of course, was Jordan Miles in NXT and had a really great run there up until it just abruptly ended, where, you know, he won basically like their futures tournament. He wound up beating Cameron Grimes in the finals, and then I believe he beat Cameron Grimes in the finals, if I remember correctly. And ACH, he just basically, like, I don't want to get into all of it because I know there's like two sides to that story, but it goes right along with like kind of this Black Lives Matter scenario and everything, and he basically, I laugh because like just how insane it is that this even like happened, but he basically had a t-shirt that looked like blackface with big lips and like big teeth. It was basically a t-shirt of like how people would like characterize black people, you know, years ago. I mean, it wasn't a good look for the company. It really wasn't. I have to believe there was some sort of oversight. But ACH ended his time with the WWE/NXT abruptly after that. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of where he rebounds, because I have seen that, you know, he's going to be going back to the Indies from what I understand. But obviously most of those companies haven't been running during the pandemic. So interesting times for ACH. Then we got Airwolf, Judiz, Aaliyah James, and King of the District in a segment. We have a segment of the Soul Touches at King of Trios 2008. We got a match, Crime Time versus Tony Deppen and Jimmy Lloyd. This was from Suburban Street Fight versus Game Changer Wrestling. This is a great, great match. Crime Time, you know, of course, Shad Gaspard passed away a few weeks ago. His last thing he ever did was save his son, which is just the most admirable thing you can ever do. He put his kid's life over his own, and I'm like literally tearing up every time I talk about this story. It gets me. I talked about it on my podcast with Jesse yesterday too. Same kind of thing. I was actually wearing the Shad shirt. The Collar and Elbow has a shirt for Shad, Shad Gaspard. Fightful.com actually bought one for me, which I very much appreciated. And all the proceeds went to Shad's family. And, Crime Time. You know, obviously they had a big run in the WWE. Probably a storyline or gimmick that probably wouldn't be the best idea, like now. Kind of like pigeonholing black wrestlers as criminals. But the way that it was done comedically, though, like it was actually, I don't think it was really racist. I really don't. I don't think that was really the intent behind Crime Time. But obviously, like on paper, looking at it from the outside in, two black wrestlers called Crime Time, it does look a little strange in 2020. Tony Deppen, not African American, but he, incredibly good talent. He's just a guy that I want to give a shout out to, because you're going to see more and more of him everywhere, I think. Literally the only thing keeping him held back at all is going to be his height. But he has everything in the ring. He's got a good gimmick. His everything about him, basically he's just short, and you know, that's, there's nothing he can do about that. But yeah, huge shout out to Crime Time. Especially, you know, the family of Shad Gaspard. We had Cedric Alexander makes Candice's soul leave in a segment. We have a segment showing Shug D winning the Freelance Championship. Shug D, now part of AEW, Pineapple Pete, you might know him as. After that, we have a match, Billy Dixon versus Christopher Adino. We have Calvin Tankman versus Lee Moriarty from Paradigm Pro Wrestling. Calvin Tankman, if you've never seen him, that man is huge, huge, huge. Moves around pretty damn well for a guy that big as well. Nice guy from what I understand, too. We have a segment with Athena winning the ACW Queen of Queens. We have Faye Jackson versus Ruthless Lala. Faye Jackson, I got to see live a couple times at SUP in Nashville. She was in a team with Stokely Hathaway, who you may know now as Malcolm Bivens in NXT, against Mr. Brickster, who was known as Ricky Romance on VH1's I Love New York long time ago on VH1. It was like a Flava Flav dating show spinoff. And Brickster, his real name is Ricky. Ricky's a great dude. I've actually spent time with him and his family a few times. He lived right up the street from me when I lived in Nashville. And I've interviewed him there a few times. I actually watched AEW, or before it was even AEW, All In. I watched that at his apartment. It was me, him, and another friend of ours, Andrew Clements. Shout out to Andrew Clement, who does a lot of great photography at wrestling shows. The three of us hung out. His wife made us some buffalo dip and stuff. He's from the Buffalo, New York area. It was great. Had a great time. So shout out to Brickster as well. But yeah, his feud with Faye Jackson and Stokely Hathaway was a lot of fun and stuff. We have a segment with Trevor Aaron. We have a segment with AJ Gray winning the Midwest Triple Crown. AJ Gray versus Will Hobbs was after that as well from West Coast Pro Wrestling. I've talked about AJ Gray at length so many times on this show. He is incredible in the ring. He's got great power moves. He's got great high flying. He's a great commentator. I've heard him do sub commentary. He's hilarious as a color commentator. He has a great gimmick. He has great merchandise. He's a little bit on the shorter side, but that shouldn't hold him back, especially in comparison to the size of like a lot of the people making it right now in wrestling. I think AJ Gray has a very good chance of hitting it big somewhere. Very similar to O'Shea Edwards. I could see him popping up in Impact or AEW like really soon. Maybe get some work in like MLW or something like that. Like there's definitely a future for AJ Gray. He has just so much talent. And he's different too. He isn't just like your standard like high flyer or power guy. He's a hybrid of everything. He does it all really well. And he's crazy. Like every now and then he'll just lose his mind and do some crazy move off the top rope to the outside and just blow everyone's mind. So huge shout out to AJ Gray. After that we have a segment where Human Tornado and Ruckus do a dance off. Human Tornado is somebody that definitely doesn't get as much notoriety as he should. Back when I started watching independent wrestling, started like really paying attention to it in the early 2000s, Human Tornado was one of the most popular wrestlers on the scene. And it was because if you'd never seen it before, he would like basically dance throughout his matches. Like it was more about the dancing than the moves, but he would incorporate the wrestling moves into the dance moves. And I remember I used to watch his stuff all the time on servers like, you know, Kazaa and LimeWire, and this was all like pre-YouTube and stuff. And Human Tornado, he's a real pioneer of independent professional wrestling, and he probably heavily influenced a lot of people. I'd imagine he probably influenced people like Rich Swann and stuff quite a bit. After that, we had a segment from The Rep. We have a match, the boys from Jollyville versus the Gymnasty Boys versus Alpha/Omega. This was in Glory Pro. All three of these tag teams are great. And they all have unique body types. They're people who, if you saw, especially like the boys from Jollyville and the Gymnasty Boys, I'm not as familiar with Alpha and Omega, but the Gymnasty Boys and the boys from Jollyville, the way that they move around for guys of their size is very impressive, and they do some really great stuff. Boys from Jollyville are like a staple in Glory Pro Wrestling. They're one of like the foundations of that company, as far as I'm concerned. And the Gymnasty Boys, I've just seen go out there and do some incredible moves, especially like their double team stuff is really, really great. So great tag team match there. We have a segment with Lutha X, Treehouse Lee, Devin Monroe, Lucky Alley and Jaden, and then the last match we got here is the Pan-African title, Darius Lockhart versus Trisha Adora. So once again, huge shout out to J Rose for putting this all together. And check this show out on IWTV. It is the IWTV mixtape, and it is titled The Best of Black Independent Wrestling. It's available right now to stream on IWTV. Moving on, I've got a free match recommendation for you on YouTube. If you want to go on to Ring of Honor's YouTube channel, you can check out Hanson versus Rowe, and it is from the 2014 Top Prospect Tournament Final. For those of you who don't know, Hanson and Rowe are now known as Eric and Ivar, the Viking Raiders on WWE. In Ring of Honor, they were later known as, depending on the timeline we're talking here, this match is before they were a tag team. They would become a tag team in Ring of Honor and become one of the biggest and best tag teams in Ring of Honor history, as War Machine was their name. And then when they came to WWE, they changed that name for pretty obvious reasons. I think, for a lot of different reasons. I shouldn't say obvious, but in my opinion, they did it. For one, they probably don't want the name War in there. But for two, if you don't know, there was actually a former UFC fighter whose birth name was John Copenhaver, and he legally changed his name to War Machine, and he basically got in a lot of trouble. He beat up Christy Mack, who was a porn star, who some of you might know, but he beat her up, like, really badly. They were dating. He has, like, this whole history of just bad track record, and he's doing a lot of time in prison at the moment. He might even be there for life. I really don't know. But I haven't done this, but I'd imagine if you Google War Machine, a lot of that stuff comes up. And the WWE probably doesn't want that for similar reasons as to why they've never, like, inducted China into the WWE Hall of Fame as a standalone inductee. Because I think they're afraid of kids jumping on Google and Googling China who don't know about her, and, her porn pops up. Obviously, I think some of the things that War Machine has done in his life are much, 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 much worse and dastardly in comparison to what China's done, in her life. But that all being said, this is a matchup between the future Viking Raiders, between Hanson and Rowe, and this is from 2014. So I figured I'd recommend this one mainly because it's a match that a lot of you probably didn't know happened. But outside of that, the Viking Raiders get a lot of airtime on WWE Raw, heavily involved, former tag team champions in WWE and in NXT. And it's kind of cool to see where they came from on Ring of Honor TV in that Top Prospect tournament. So check that out. That's free on the ROH YouTube channel. And obviously, we normally talk about or review the Ring of Honor shows here on the Weekender, but they are still just doing kind of like best of and compilations and stuff. There hasn't been like new matches and stuff to talk about due to the pandemic. So the best I can really do again this week is recommend something for you to watch to keep supporting the company Ring of Honor. Moving on, we have Impact Wrestling results. Starts off this week with Michael Elgin defeating Ken Shamrock and Sami Callihan. The finish comes after Elgin hits the Elgin Bomb on Shamrock. So Sami gets sent out of the ring. Elgin hits the Elgin Bomb and gets the big victory there in the triple threat. We have Tasha Steelz defeating Susie. The finish came after Kiera gets up on the ring apron and distracts Susie. Tasha hits the cutter for a 1-2-3 pinfall victory. After that, Willie Mack and Cousin Jake defeat Johnny Swinger and Chris Bay. Finish comes when Willie hits the stunner for the 1-2-3 on Johnny Swinger. I really like the outcome of this one because I'm a huge Willie Mack fan. I'm a huge Cousin Jake fan. I talk about Glory Pro all the time, but Cousin Jake is also known as Jake Something on the independent scene, and he's done great work, especially in Glory Pro Wrestling. And I really want to see him, I'd like to see him, like, break away from the Cody Deaner Cousin Jake thing and do his own thing. I think he could really be better as, like, a singles wrestler, or even if he's going to be in a tag team, I think it'd probably benefit him to disassociate with the Cousin Jake thing, Cody Deaner thing. But after this match, it is worth mentioning that Johnny Swinger and Chris Bay do attack Willie Mack and Cousin Jake after the match, and it does prompt Cody Deaner to return and save Cousin Jake. So I'd imagine that that tag team is going to continue going on. But, you know, if they push the tag team, I'm fine with that. But if they don't, I just feel like Jay Something has a lot to contribute. And then, of course, Willie Mack. I talk about him all the time. I love him being the X Division champion, and I'd be even happier with him holding the world title. It's a very similar situation to Ace Austin, where Ace Austin had that X Division title. I was hoping that he could get a world title match soon. And the way they did it was very, very smart. Like, the WWE has a tendency to give people title shots coming off of losses for secondary titles. I don't understand why they do it. I think it's really stupid booking. But it happens all the time where, like, someone loses the United States title or the Intercontinental title or something. Or, like, Seth Rollins, you know, loses to Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. Then the next night on Raw, he's a number one contender. There was not even a belt on the line in that one. That was just, you know, him coming off a loss. But it happens way too often in the WWE. And I love the way that Impact booked Ace Austin, because he lost the X Division title to Willie Mack, who is somebody who also definitely deserved to be the champion. So nobody's mad that Willie Mack won. He deserves that title. But we still want Austin to be involved, and we'd like to see him get elevated. So what they did was he won a tournament that lasted, you know, a handful of weeks, became the number one contender, and now he's going to get... So it isn't him... It isn't like he lost the X Division title, and now he's just going to get a world title match. He lost the X Division title, and then he won, like, three or four matches in this tournament, and now he's earned his spot, and it makes total sense. I love the booking there. I just wanted to throw that out there. Up next, we have Jake Chris defeat Crazy Steve. Got the win with basically a barrage of kicks. And in the main event, Jordynne Grace retains the Knockouts Championship by defeating Taya Valkyrie. She gets the win after... So basically, Jordynne counters their Road to Valhalla, which is, of course, Tyra's finisher. And she winds up hitting a lariat and then goes into to lock on a chokehold. And the choke forces Taya to tap out. So Jordynne Grace retains by submission. And after the match, Gianna Perrazzo makes her Impact Wrestling debut, and she winds up taking out Jordynne Grace and putting her in a Fujiwara armbar. So it looks like Gianna Perrazzo is going to be an immediate threat to Jordynne Grace's Knockouts Championship, and I'm fine with that. I say it all the time. Impact Wrestling, their booking can be very hit or miss. The last few weeks, it's been hit. It's been total hit. I really don't have any issue with any of it currently, which is great. Two thumbs up for me. But something I always highlight when talking about Impact to others is that Impact Wrestling's women's division is totally slept on right now. They might have the best top-to-bottom women's roster in the world, especially if you count Tessa in that mix. Obviously, Tessa Blanchard is the world champion, and she's a female, which is, you know, that's never happened in a major promotion like that before. But, you know, if you're counting her along with the other women, it's like just like a women's roster. I think they have probably the best women's roster, period. Even without Tessa, it's still debatable. Like, it's still incredible. So, great week, another great week, for Impact Wrestling. No complaints. Next, we got 205 Live results. Just two matches to quickly touch on. First match we had, team of Ever-Rise, defeated Leon Ruff and Adrian Alanis. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. The finish came when they basically, Matt Martell and Chase Parker, you know, the team of Ever-Rise, used their teamwork to get the victory. And the main event, we had a six-man match where Isaiah Swerve Scott, who I talked about earlier, used to be known as Shane Swerve Strickland, still call him that all the time on accident, him, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch defeated the team of Jack Gallagher, Tony Nese, and Tehudi Miles. The finish came when Swerve hit the confidence boost for the 1-2-3. So, yeah, two solid matches. Not really much else to talk about on this one. I like that they continue to push Swerve, and Lorcan and Burch are, you know, they're a great tag team as well. So, once again, no problems, but it's not really like a can't-miss show by any means, if that makes sense. Up next, we have just some new YouTube content on the NWA channel to talk about. They obviously haven't been running more episodes of NWA Power. So since the last time I've done this podcast, we have 5 new videos on the NWA YouTube channel. The first one is episode 3 of What's Causing All This. It's such a weird play on words. Doug Williams is on the show, and he's somebody that, you know, I remember him mainly from his run in Impact Wrestling, TNA, way back in the day. We have Carnyland episode 3, which is Eli Drake's podcast. We have Legacy of Harley Race, which is episode 4 of Inside the NWA. So it's about an hour-long episode highlighting Harley Race, one of the best best NWA World Heavyweight Champions of all time. We have episode 4 of the Eli Drake Show, which is Dear Class of 2020. And we have Camille talks with WNBA's Elizabeth Williams and Duke basketball's Jenna Frush, or Frush, I'm not sure how you say her name, because I don't know hardly anything about women's basketball. But there is a Girl Power podcast episode where Camille talks with some a WNBA player and a Duke basketball player. So not a whole lot going on the NWA YouTube channel this week. I mean, there is a whole lot from the sense that they did upload about 5 hours worth of content, which is great, but mainly podcasts and stuff, so nothing really in-ring. I really like that they're highlighting that Harley Race Inside the NWA episode 4. That's probably what I would recommend checking out the most of all of this. But if you're into podcasts and you got time to kill, there's plenty more content on there for you. So once again, that's the NWA National Wrestling Alliance YouTube channel. All right, let's do a recap here of Being the Elite, the most recent episode called Colonoscopy. Starts off with Colt Cabana going over his stats. He's basically talking about, like, the ratings that he's drawing, and he's getting all the numbers wrong. He's with Chris Harrington. Kenny's afraid of Chris Harrington, and Kenny's so afraid that he's basically now talking about how great Colt is for Being the Elite. Harrington wants to fight Kenny, and scares Kenny off again, and then Kenny, like, when Harrington leaves the room, Kenny threatens to basically kick Colt Cabana off of Being the Elite and AEW Dynamite. There's a segment where the best friends still can't come up with a bit for Being the Elite. Chuck and Trent just run away, and then Orange Cassidy slowly slides around a barrier. Matt Jackson keeps talking about his injured rib. He injured his rib during the Stadium Stampede. He keeps talking about his rib. Matt Hardy pops out of nowhere, and he starts explaining the wrestling term rib, which is basically like the term for a prank. You know, basically pulling a prank on somebody in the wrestling business is considered a rib. After that, we get a bunch of Stadium Stampede highlights, and later on, we also get some highlights from Dynamite. Christopher Daniels, long segment talking about a colonoscopy that he got, and he explains why they're important. So if you don't know about colonoscopies, Christopher Daniels gives you a nice lesson on why you should know about them. Alex Abrahantes, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, he has a new segment explaining Spanglish, which is, you know, a mixture between Spanish and English. The first word that they're teaching us about is botella. It means bottle in English through translation. Ortiz and Santana, I believe they explained it as a term for booty, basically, from how I, like a butt, like a girl walking by and, like, explaining her, looking at her butt, basically, is what I got out of that. We get a segment where Brandon Cutler is showing off his new large dice that he uses for his entrance. Best friends are still trying to come up with a bit for Being the Elite. Trent comes up with the idea of being kidnapped, and Chuck's like, Hangman already did that. Then Trent's like, oh, I can go out to the woods for a few weeks, and Chuck's like, yeah, Hangman did that also. Orange Cassidy is like, oh, I got it. And he's like, I don't got it. And that's pretty much it. They still can't come up with any new bits for Being the Elite, but they're still hilarious. I love those guys. It's funny because, like, them not coming up with the bits is the bits. So, like, that's kind of the irony there. Matt Jackson wants to get out of having to do a Zoom call, like a business call with Brandon Cutler and Nick Jackson. He needs to gig to be able to try to get off of having to do this call. So basically he wants to bleed and then he doesn't have to go do it. He tries a whole bunch of stuff that includes his son super kicking him. He goes face first down a slide, puts his head in Legos. Eventually he ends up bleeding from the forehead. He gets on the Zoom call. They say they're not going to do the call anymore. And then we just see Matt Jackson is kind of leaning back, chilling, relaxing, and doesn't have to work. So that's Being the Colonoscopy, and that is available for free right now on YouTube, on the Being the Elite YouTube channel. And lastly, let's do some really quick WWE Backlash predictions. I'm just going to give you my winners for each match. I'm not going to deep dive on it. I'm going to take... So this match was actually added since my official predictions. We have the Street Profits versus the Viking Raiders for the Raw Tag Team titles. I'm going to say the Street Profits retain the titles there. I'm going to say Apollo Crews retains the U.S. Championship over Andrade. I'm going to say Bayley and Sasha retain the Women's Tag Team titles over Alexa Bliss and the Iconics. I'm going to take Jeff Hardy over Sheamus. I'm going to take Asuka to retain the Raw Women's Championship over Nia Jax. I'm going to take Braun Strowman to retain the WWE Universal Championship over The Miz and Morrison. I'm going to take Drew McIntyre to retain the WWE Championship over Bobby Lashley, who should have MVP in his corner. I'm going to take Edge to defeat Randy Orton in the greatest wrestling match ever. That's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Be sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.